We have David, who is coming to speak in just a moment. He's our compassion connection. For those of you who might be newer, we have had a long-term partnership with Compassion Australia, where we have the privilege of sponsoring many children. We've taken lots of trips to various places, particularly around Indonesia, to connect people with their sponsored children. We love the work that Compassion does with loving children in Jesus' name and alleviating poverty. We love how they work with the local churches. And I love that when we give funds through Compassion, we know exactly where those funds are going, and we feel like it's a really trustworthy organisation. David, we're really glad that you're here to share with us. We're looking forward. Yep, come and.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you guys for having me. I feel like I kind of know this family already. I've had many coffees with Pastor Chris, and it's always encouraging for me and my family. We've been blessed by many prophetic words, and so I feel like this is kind of comfortable. I feel like I kind of know what to do here, and I'm comfortable with that. And mother half is missing. My wife and my little two-year-old little lad didn't come today because he's a bit sick. So I think that's two-year-old life, right? They just go from one sickness to the next. You call it teething, but it's actually just they're sick. So he's sick at home. And Pearl could have stayed home with all her presents today, but she chose to come here with you guys. So I'm pretty proud of Pearlie for making that decision. I'm going to get straight into it today because I really don't feel like there's a lot of need for me to build rapport with you because I feel like you guys are already there. So I'm just going to get into it. And if you feel like you don't know me, then you'll just get to know me as we go. But I know you guys are talking about flourishing as family, and I really love that. And when Pastor Chris told me, I said, that's perfect, because I really feel like God's put a word in my heart around the Father. And I think it's really important as you flourish as a family to know your role in the family, right? If you don't know what your dad's job is as your dad, you don't know how to respond to your dad. You don't know how to live under as a family. I know my kids know dad does certain things, and so if dad does that, I know where I fit in that sort of dynamic. So today, I really want to sort of align with you guys around flourishing as family. So I'm going to learn or teach you a little bit about what I feel like God's speaking to us through Jesus and how he represented his Father. So we're going to jump straight into the first scripture there. And that's on the screen there, so you don't need to turn to it. If you want to, you totally can, to make sure I'm not making it up, but I promise you that I'm not. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came to Galilee, to the Jordan, to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. This is an amazing moment in Scripture, right? Maybe you're a little bit like me. Sometimes I read Scripture and I just read it, and then I don't really take the moment to understand what actually just happened. Could you imagine being in the crowd at this moment right here? You don't know a lot about Jesus, but you know about John the Baptizer. And this man goes to get baptized, and as he comes out of the water, the heavens open. This light shines upon him. I can imagine all these sparkly little things flying in the air, like just magical, right? And then a dove-like spirit flies down and lands on the man. The crowd would be, what? And then, just to top it off, the audible voice of God. The audible voice of God. And what does he say? My Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Have you ever wondered at this point why God was so pleased with his Son at this point? What was he so pleased about? Let me backtrack for you for just a little bit. Matthew chapter 1, Jesus is born. It's Christmas time. Chapter 2. Joseph and Mary are hiding Jesus away because Herod is chasing after him. And here we are at chapter 3. At this point, Jesus hasn't done anything significant. And yet his dad is looking down at him and going, son, I am very happy. I am very satisfied. I am well pleased with you. Have you ever heard those words said over your life? Son, daughter, I'm well pleased. I'm well happy with you. I can think of a moment in my life that sort of sticks out, and I hope I can share that with you and you guys can join with me in this. I come from a family of sports fanatics. No matter what time of day you turn up to my parents' house in Brisbane, there is sport on TV. It could be ping pong. It could be bowling. Honestly, it doesn't matter. It's just sport. But my dad particularly loves soccer and always been a fan of Liverpool, kind of grew up with it. And so my brother kind of took that on. Now, just have one brother. That's my only sibling. He's 2 years younger than me. And he decided he loved soccer as well. I didn't mind soccer, but it just wasn't a passion. But anyway, my brother, as soon as he was old enough, he signed up for soccer. He was playing. And I didn't. I just was going to turn up and watch the game. But it just so happened that all my friends in my grade were like, Dave, your brother's playing. Why aren't you playing? I know you're, you know, different teams or whatever, but you should play. So I was like, all right, all right, peer pressure in a good way. I'll play. I can probably sum up the first year of me playing soccer as average. I don't remember anything in that first year that I did. I was so average that I don't remember any moment at all. The second year comes around and the coach decides he can't coach this year. What are we going to do? Oh, I've got a solution. Dad will coach. Of course. No problem. He knows soccer. He's awesome. But you know when your dad's the coach, there's an expectation that you could be a good player as well. Not true. Still very, very average. In fact, I still remember a moment, oh, so vividly. I feel like I'm having a counselling session. I hope you can come with me here just while we get through this. Dad, I'm glad you're in the room. I can remember the ball coming in the air, high, and I'm thinking, okay, I know what to do. You've been trained well. I either trap it, I kick it back on the fall, or I headbutt it. Three options, very simple. Okay, I'm going to go with the kick. So it comes, and I just, you know, this is going to be beautiful. You know, great shot. And the ball bounces way ahead of me and just straight over. And I just remember going, oh. And I'd look over to the coach, Dad. And you can just imagine. He's just like, oh, my son. I am not well pleased. But it gets better. So one day, you know, we're winning 11-0 at this point. So just here's the thing. If you're the worst player, at least you've got a team that is undefeated for 3 years. Like, you want to be part of that kind of team, right? So we're an amazing team. We're up 11-0 this one day. And so my mate said, Coach, let Dave go out the front so we can score. Now I think back, how patronising is that? But, you know, at the time I didn't care. So right to the front, you know, the goalie probably would have been 2 years old, I reckon. But the ball came to me, easy shot. I lined it up. And I scored. Yeah, I scored. Yeah, it's amazing. The only goal I ever scored, but I scored. Well, you should see this moment. All my friends picked me up on their shoulders. They charged me. I was waving at everybody. Like, yeah. It's like we won the grand final. It was now 12-0. You know, great. But I remember Dad in the car. I don't know if you remember this, but in the car, Dad was like, oh, Dave, I'm so proud of you. I reckon the penny's finally dropped. I think you got it. I think you've really worked this game out. Side note, I hadn't. I didn't get any better at all. But in Dad's eyes, I'd achieved something. I'd got better. But, you know, it's funny. We do this in, you know, family life, and we can do this in work and things like that. We look for those moments where someone says, I'm pleased. I'm happy with you. But, you know, we do it with God too in a really weird way. For example, and Don't let me talk down to these moments, because these moments are great, but I want to rattle the boat, if that's okay. And we have a really great evangelistic moment with a friend. You know, they're not yet a Christian, and we take this moment and we talk to them about Jesus, and it goes awesome. You know, Holy Spirit's there, and it goes awesome. But afterwards, we kind of look at God like, you know, I don't need to tell everybody about this, but you must be pretty pleased with me. Like, I did a pretty great job talking about you today. you know. Or maybe we run the biggest small group in the church. We don't need the accolades from everybody. We don't need that. It's not about. But between you and God, you're like, well, look what I'm doing. Like, you must be pretty proud of me. Like, I'm doing what you're saying. You must be, you know, looking at me going, that guy, he's good. He's very good. And again, like I said, these things aren't bad. In fact, I would almost say they were Holy Spirit inspired. But I want to rock the boat. Are these moments when Jesus came out of the water? Did he get this moment with God where he looked down at his son and said, son, I'm well pleased because of what he had done? Was he looking at his son going, because you've done all these things, I am pleased? No. He had done nothing. In that moment, in fact, I think God looked right through the flesh of Jesus and saw his heart. A heart that mirrored his own. Can I tell you, there is no physical act, no thing you can do to earn my son, my daughter, I am well pleased. There is nothing you need to do for that. Because he looks at you today and says, my son, my daughter, I love you. I am well pleased. So you're never going to hear, my son, my daughter, I am so pleased today that you didn't take that last Tim Tam. I saw you. That's good. Or my son, my daughter, I am well pleased that in that prayer meeting, you were the loudest and most passionate. I could hear you the most. Again, I'm having fun, but what a relief. What a relief that our relationship with God doesn't rely on what we do, but how we mirror the heart of God. So if you're writing notes, write this down. My son, my daughter, I love you. I am well pleased. Now that we have this foundational truth, did Jesus at that point kick back? As Christians, now that we know that our Father is looking at us pleased, do we just kick back? No, quite the opposite. In fact, this was the moment when Jesus actually began ministry, right? He started. And it's the same for us. Because what we do is out of a heart of love and connection with our Father, not for earning his love, but working out his love in our lives. And I love that Jesus shows us exactly how to do this. See, it could be, for some of us, we might think, oh, that's complicated now. How do I act? How do I do in a way that just looks like perfect love and it's done so well? Well, you know what? It's simple. Jesus tells you how. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he tells you some real fundamental truths, but how to do it in the way he would do it as Jesus, mirroring God's heart. And so today I'm going to just jump through a couple of those for you. Now, I know time is of the essence, so I'm going to try to go as fast as I can. But if you want to go to the second scripture, we're going to go straight to giving to the needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by others. But truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And as you know, the rest of the scripture goes on there around how you do it in secret. A really important word here that I want to sort of highlight is this righteousness in front of others. You know, there's two versions of the word righteousness. The world's version of righteousness is to be morally correct or to be justified. So to be righteous in the world means that someone actually has to see you doing the act to be seen as righteousness. But in the way God talks about and the way it's seen in this scripture right here is a very different definition. Let me read it to you. Being right in the eyes of God, including character, nature, conscience, attitude, conduct, action, command, and word. Righteousness is therefore based upon a God standard. What is he saying? not based on what you do, but the state of your heart. Don't let the world judge you. Let God do that. And why should we be honored by the world when the things that we do are in connection with God anyway? He put them in your heart, right? When I hang out with my girls, they want to do the things that I want to do. Why? Because we have fun together. And the more we hang out, the more we do things, the more they learn what I love. It's the same with God. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you spend time with him, the more you understand what he loves, you end up doing those things because you know he loves them and he put them in your heart to do. Straight from there, it goes into prayer and fasting. And I'm going to summarize again for time. But basically, over prayer and fasting, Jesus talks again about being seen by others. He talks about being the hypocrites because they are praying so everyone can hear them. They're fasting so everyone can see them. They're doing their faces all sad so everyone feels sad for what they're doing. There is three times in a row, and Benny talked about this already this morning, three times in a row, Jesus points out to not do things in honor for man. It's really important he says it three times because he knows as people, it's our default. It's what we do. I don't know about you, but sometimes maybe in your workplace, you wonder if your boss saw you do that particular thing, that you get recognized for that particular piece of work you did, because maybe that'll get me further up the ladder at work. Or maybe it's at home. You know, maybe you clean up the house because it's an absolute pigsty and you're waiting for your spouse and your children to say, hey, yeah, thanks for doing that. You're looking for that recognition. Or maybe we do it with our conversations with God. Now, this one might be a bit close to the bone. So, you know, if you hate it, just throw it out. But I reckon it's probably some really good truth here. How many times have we had a conversation with God recently that goes like this? God, you know that I love you so much and I really haven't done anything that wrong recently. So why aren't you coming through in this area? Or maybe you're looking at a family or another friend who seems to be living in the blessings right now. And you go, oh God, that's cool for them. That's good. But, you know, I know they did this stuff in their past. So that shouldn't that like disqualify them for that? And maybe I should get that? Maybe I gave a little bit extra in the offering and God, I don't want anyone else to know, but you know. So, you know, what are you going to do? I think if we're honest, we've all had a kind of conversation with God like that at some point. And again, it's because we think if we do stuff that we earn stuff. But God doesn't work like that. There's no action needed. In fact, let me remind you, my son, my daughter, I love you. I am well pleased. With nothing on the slate, I am well pleased. I love this next verse. It goes into 19. It's almost like Jesus is reading the crowd because the crowd's going, but I kind of like the rewards. I kind of like being noticed and being rewarded for it. And each one of these scriptures mentions the reward. But I love that he does this at the end. He goes, you know what? Do not store up your treasures here on earth where moss and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moss and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Makes us look at treasures very differently. It takes our eyes off this situation, our lives now, and makes us think, if people don't see what we do, if our righteousness is done between me and him, then the treasure will come because he loves you. But it may not look the way you think it will. You may not even see it here, but you may see it in heaven. Today, I don't want to make you feel bad, feel convicted. But what I want to do is release you to love without condition. I want to release you to enjoy being a son and daughter of the King that requires no action, but your love back. And as you love him back, the overflow of that love will provide you with great actions that bring life, that are Holy Spirit inspired. And that will bring good fruit. And that will bring good reward. My son, my daughter, I love you. I am well pleased. If you could, I'd love you to close your eyes just for a moment. Because I really want Holy Spirit to do most of the talking right now. But today, if what I'm saying kind of hits you in the heart somewhere, maybe you've seen God like a dad you need to please, that you need to do things for, work hard for. And maybe you feel tired today because you feel this obligation. Well, today, Holy Spirit wants to release that off you. He wants you to take off all those burdens. And instead, he wants to release his pleasure over you. He wants to release his love over you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in this room right now. Thank you for spending time with us in this service right now. Holy Spirit, I just pray you release your love over your people. Ah, let them know your pleasure. Let them know your love. Wash over all the things we put on you. Take them all away. Let our relationship with you be simple, real, simple love without condition. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Awesome. Well, I'm going to wrap up today from me, but I just wanted to share, obviously, as Pastor Chris mentioned, I'm from Compassion, and this has been a really interesting season. I joined Compassion only a year and a half ago, and then fires happened, and then COVID happened, and then floods happened, and it feels like, wow, gee, I signed up at a funny time. But despite my feelings of that here in New South Wales, I know the field countries are feeling it even more. And unfortunately, COVID itself hasn't really caused a problem. It's been the restrictions on so many of these countries that have caused major problems for a lot of these families and children. And so today I've just got two groups of people. Those who don't sponsor and would love to sponsor, you guys, as you said, have a whole bunch of kids that you guys are sponsoring in one particular area. And if you want to continue to partner in that area, that is on the right side if I'm looking at this side. If you sponsor today, if you already sponsor, can you give me a little wave if you already sponsor kids today? Awesome. I actually want to talk to you guys today because over this period of time, we lost a lot of sponsors. That's just kind of natural, and there's nothing negative about that. People go through their journeys and there's no judgment at all. But there's a whole bunch of kids that need 1, 2, 3 years more sponsorship until they finish the program. And something in my heart would love to see these kids leave the program knowing they were sponsored, knowing that someone was praying for them and believing with them, because it is about the money, but to me, it's more important that these kids know that a father, mother, son is praying for them from Australia right to the end of their program. So for those kids that just need 2, 3 years, I actually got them on the left side. And if you think, you know what, I could do it just for 1 or 2 years, 3 years, I could just chip in until they get done, please come and see me because I would love to give you those names and those details and we can help those kids through right to the end of their program. But thank you again for having me today. It's been a real blessing to be here and I'm sure I'll see you guys again soon. Thanks.